Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance, and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ.
My brothers and sisters, today's gospel reading, we certainly have examples of what attitude to avoid and which to adopt when praying to God. The Pharisee, the man of position and status, shows he lets those things affect his attitude and relationship with God. And in fact, if we're listening carefully, he's not even praying to God. Jesus, in the parable, says the Pharisee said this prayer to himself. That's how self-satisfied and confident he is in his own righteousness. As the expression goes, he loves the sound of his own voice. What does he need God for? He's saved himself. He's justified. He is perfect. Does all the right things. But he's fooling himself. He needs to learn something from the tax collector who knows his own sinfulness, his own shortcomings, his need for God's grace. That's the danger for all of us who have been working at our faith for a while. We can get to a certain plateau and we can get satisfied and we can fool ourselves into thinking that we're all set. Don't need God much anymore. You're up there. I'm down here. I'll let you know, Lord, when I need you. And then, of course, sooner or later, something's going to come up, and God's going to let us know. He's going to remind us of how badly we need him all the time. Our patron saint, Saint Pope John Paul II, whose feast we get to celebrate today, is the antidote to the Pharisee's attitude. You would think that he, the supreme pontiff, the vicar of Christ on earth, the one who seemingly has all the power to lead the church, it would be no surprise that he might show an air of authority, an air of superiority, an air of, you're going to listen to me because I'm on top of the pyramid. John Paul II was anything but that. He inverted the pyramid. You know, we tend to think of the Pope way up here on the top of the pyramid, and then the bishops, and then the priests, and the deacons, and then the people down here. John Paul inverted the pyramid and put the people on top and let each one of us pastors know that we're down here lifting the people up to God. When he was asked what his most favorite title was when he ascended to the papacy, because Lord knows there's a lot of titles for the Pope: Supreme Pontiff, Vicar of Christ on Earth, Holy Father. We could go on and on. But he simply said, "I love to be called the servants of the servants of God, the servant of the servants of God." He lived the humility of the tax collector, and he did this from the very start of his papacy. I found this from his homily that he gave during the Mass when he was elevated to the papacy. And since it was preserved for posterity, we have the exact words that he delivered very first Mass as Pope. He said, "All sacred power exercised in the Church is nothing other than service. Service with a single purpose: to ensure that the whole people of God shares in the mission of Christ." And on this World Mission Sunday, we're reminded that we all are missionaries. In fact, the deacon that served with me in Grafton used to say, "We got to get signs and put them up at the exits of the church, Father, so people are reminded when they're leaving the church and fed at Mass and nourished, they got to go out and be missionaries." And his idea was, you put a sign up, "You are now entering mission territory." Certainly, John Paul II reminded us all of that in his preaching and in his life. And he went on. He offered this prayer to God for himself in the homily: "Christ, make me become and remain the servant of your unique power. Not the wielder of your power, the servant of your unique power, the servant of your sweet power, the servant of your power that knows no setting. Make me a servant. Indeed, the servant of your servants." That's humility. What a great example he was and remains. Like the tax collector, John Paul acknowledged his need for God, his sinfulness. I always think of this, and sometimes I even say it when I'm preaching about reconciliation, the sacrament of reconciliation, and people say, "Oh, Father, you know, I haven't been to confession for years because I can't think of anything that I do wrong." You know, what I really want to say is, if you're perfect, how come you haven't ascended into heaven yet? But what I really say to them, take a page out of John Paul II's book instead, because he went to confession once a week, publicly acknowledging his sinfulness. And a reporter once asked him, they said, "Holy Father, what could you possibly have to confess? You're the Pope." And he smiled a wry smile and he said, "I'm not going to tell you what I confess. That's for my confessor. But I will tell you this: I'm never at a loss for something to say." Humility, public acknowledgement of his need for God. Pope Francis did the same thing when he was elevated to the papacy. Or even before that, after he was elected, he came out, the first thing he said is, "Pray for me, I'm a sinner." That's leadership. That's being a servant of the servants, leading by example, having the humility of the tax collector and not the arrogance of the Pharisee. On this World Mission Sunday, we celebrate the most traveled and missionary-minded Pope and maybe human being who ever lived. And his humility was on full display at the end of his journey when he showed us, with his afflictions, hobbling around with a bad hip, shaking because he had Parkinson's disease, not trying to hide this for his pride's sake, but showing it so that he could teach as he was carrying his cross up Calvary, persevering in his affliction. And I had the privilege of witnessing this myself in 2002, when I was an associate pastor in Clinton, taking some kids up to what would be his last World Youth Day in Toronto. And I've got to have some humility here because I learned a lesson. You know, I was still late 30s, maybe early 40s. And I remember when my mother went to the Boston Common back in 1979, I think, when John Paul had been only Pope a year, and he was vigorous and youthful and running around the world, charismatic in the prime of his life in papacy. And I was so excited to go to Toronto, but stupidly in my head, I said, you know, I'm jealous of my mom. She saw John Paul when he was really great, in full vigor. And I'm going to see the old, broken down John Paul. How stupid can a grown man be, let alone a priest? Because I had the privilege of going up to Toronto and seeing him being formed into the saint that he is. I saw him like watching Christ carrying his cross up the hill. A man with his own pain and affliction, still showing us all how, as St. Paul said in the second reading, to fight the good fight, to finish the race. It was pouring rain for hours. We sat there in the rain. And then when his helicopter came over, it was so providential because literally the skies were clearing. And when he landed, the wind was blowing. And he mounted that altar that was hundreds of feet in the air, hobbling, yes, showing the world, hiding nothing, his full humanity. But when the voice came, it was the same John Paul II, and I was ashamed at what I had thought before, and I would be forever grateful for the gift that I got to see him at his best, being formed into a saint. And so, my brothers and sisters, what a lesson we have in him. We have so much of his writings to learn from. We have his life to examine, to reflect on. We have his prayers in heaven. Let us follow the example of his humility. Let us persevere in carrying our crosses. And let us go out. We don't have to go far into mission territory when we leave every Mass. Back to our homes, our workplaces, our schools, our communities. And with the prayers of John Paul and his spirit in us, spread the good news that Jesus Christ is alive, wants a relationship with us, and wants to save us and make his kingdom come in each one of us and in our world. God love you.